I'm Georgie Crawford. This is the Good Glow Podcast. We all have a story, and I believe by telling these stories, we can inspire and empower each other on our self-care journey. This season, I've teamed up with ReproMed, Ireland's leading fertility clinics. Having been through IVF myself, I understand how daunting a fertility journey can be. I'm proud to partner with ReproMed, whose world-class team offer the expertise, empathy, and compassionate care needed to help and support you. With clinics all over the country in Galway, Dublin, Cork, Drogheda, and Kilkenny, they are never too far away and will do everything possible to help you grow your family. Visit repromed.ie for more. And now their sister clinic, reproscan.ie, is available for early pregnancy and gender scanning. Hello, I hope you are well. Welcome to a very exciting episode of the Good Glow Podcast. This episode has been over 6 months in the making. I DM'd Gabby Bernstein about 6 months ago and she wrote back and she said, let's make it happen. So this week, I finally got to sit down with her. Gabby has had a huge, huge impact on my life and really helped me get where I am today. Oprah called her a thought leader. She's written 9 books. She's really special and the way she thinks about things is really powerful. So a few things to listen out for today. Things that connected with me, and I know other parts of the podcast will connect with you. But for me, when Gabby spoke about becoming aware of the times of the day when she's at her best and how she works with that. So how can we maximize what we're good at and use that to our full advantage in life? That was a really interesting take for me. She also speaks about manifesting, and manifesting is something that I've only really truly understood in the last couple of months. So manifesting isn't about manifesting things. It's about what feeling do you want to bring to your life? So if you want to be present, how can you bring presence into your everyday life? If you want peace, how can you bring peace into your everyday life? And once you start cultivating that feeling every single day, you will get to that place of presence or inner peace. So could you do a 10-minute meditation or sit in your garden for a couple of minutes without your phone? Lots to think about there, and she explains that. She also speaks about shaming and blaming and why we might lash out. I think we can all relate to that. And I finally get to tell Gabby how much of a huge impact she's had on my life. And back in 2018, I felt like I was stuck between a rock and a hard place. I had a job in a newsroom in 98FM and I had this podcast. And I was getting to a point where I needed to pick one. My heart was telling me to pick the Good Glow, but my head was telling me to stay in my sensible job in 98. And I read her book, The Universe Has Your Back, and she encouraged the reader to ask for a sign. And I asked for a sign and I got it 4 hours later and I quit my job and the rest is history. So I really hope you enjoy this podcast today. If you are interested in the, you know, trauma piece, myself and Jerry Hussey have an interesting conversation on our course Rise and Thrive about how he decided to deal with his unresolved trauma. And he also speaks about, you know, how we can believe in ourselves, how we can live to our full potential. And as you know, Jerry always blows me away, and I'm so proud of our course Rise and Thrive because it's really making a difference in people's lives. And it's online, you can do it in your own time. And we do have a discount code, Soul Sisters, for 20% off, which is our biggest ever discount. You can get the course over on thegoodglow.ie. And I'll also leave a link in the episode show notes. Gabby Bernstein, welcome to the Good Glow Podcast. I'm so unbelievably grateful for this moment. I've been sitting here meditating, doing your meditation course while I was waiting for you to come on the line. So thank you so much. This is just absolutely incredible for me.
I'm so happy to be with you. I'm so happy you're doing the meditation challenge. And I'm just thrilled to be with such a bright spirit. So thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Gabby. And I love your new book, Happy Days, which is the reason that this opportunity has come along for me to talk to you about your new book. And for me, when I'm listening to a new book, I like to listen and I like to have the physical copy. So I need you on Audible in my ears, and I also need you in my hands. Something that struck me as I listened to your new book, and I've read all of your books, this is your ninth book, you said, become honest with yourself and you become free. And that's been a real theme on my podcast this season, of how we can become free. And you're saying that by becoming honest with ourselves, that that's the first step, is it?
Yeah, I think that many of us, most humans, walk through life living a storyline that isn't one that they want to live, to a storyline that isn't the truth of who they are. And when we become brave enough to look more closely at the ways that we've been hiding from the truth of who we are, then we begin the journey of becoming free. And when I say free, free to be who we genuinely are, free to be free in our mind, free in our body, free in our nervous system, free to show up with authenticity and vulnerability, free to be fearless in life. And that freedom can only really come when we start to do the inner work and the inner reflection of the ways that we're blocking that freedom.
Because when we talk about becoming free, and I promised myself in 2022 that I was going to deal with my unresolved trauma. I've been on a wellness journey for 4 years, and I've finally gotten to the point where I feel like I can address that. For many people in the world, we can go through our whole lives having buried that, whatever the thing may be. We may not even be aware of it, as you speak in the book. So, you know, by addressing that, is what sort of benefit is that going to bring to our lives?
Well, first of all, I want to acknowledge your journey and the fact that you've been brave enough to go there. So congratulations. And that it also does start slowly. So you've been on this 3-year wellness journey and just now are willing to open up a book like Happy Days and look more closely at the trauma. And the reality is, we're all traumatized. We all have trauma. Some people, it's more classic big T trauma. Okay, we had abuse as a child, or having experienced some form of catastrophic event, or abuse or sexual assault, or something along those lines, which are horrific traumas that can really be obvious. But then there's the small T traumas of just being told we're stupid, or being bullied in high school, or not having enough support at home, that would go overlooked. So when we begin any kind of journey of looking inward, like you said, a 3-year journey of wellness, that starts to chip away at, okay, there might be some more here for me to look at. And it starts to open the door, an invisible door, to begin to do deeper work. And you've prepared yourself energetically for that. And now you're in this position where a book like Happy Days comes across your desk, and it's this moment of time where you say, oh yeah, I'm ready for that. I'm ready to go deeper. So we all have trauma. Most people are unaware of it. And those of us who have the bravery and the privilege of being able to witness it in this lifetime, I hope we'll be guided to the resources and support systems that they need to move through it and thrive on the other side.
Mm. And do you think that you have done that work yourself? Well, I know that you've written this incredible book about it, but do you feel in your heart and soul that you have reached that point of freedom?
Oh yeah, definitely. I wouldn't have been able to write this book, Happy Days, The Guided Path from Trauma to Profound Freedom and Inner Peace. I wouldn't have been able to write that if I wasn't fully living it. So is there still more that I'm working towards? Do I still have therapy every Wednesday night? Every Wednesday night. My whole life is devoted to spiritual practice and personal growth. So I'm not done. But I am free.
Wow. That's amazing, because that is when I did your manifesting challenge in January. I was, first of all, I thought it was amazing the way you explained how to manifest properly. And for me, what really struck me in that whole piece was, you know, you need to live the feeling that you're trying to cultivate. So I took inspiration from you in terms of, I was trying to manifest inner peace because I thought that would be just such a lovely way to start the year. And you speak about it in your book too, about how we think about the feeling, what we want to bring to our life, as opposed to the things we want to bring to our life, and how can we create inner peace in our everyday. So, you know, if someone is kind of connecting with that and, yeah, I'd love some inner peace, you know, where do we start with that?
Well, I think that we start by opening a book like Happy Days. And it's whether it's my book or somebody else's self-help spiritual book or psychology book, something that's going to open up your conscious awareness to the that there are other ways of living. Because no one pulls us aside and says, hey, here's the handbook for happiness, right? So that's why I've written 9 books, because I hope to be those handbooks. And I know I am. I know the books are. And in this book in particular, it's a very gentle, steady path of witnessing all the ways that you may be avoiding that grace and that happiness and that inner peace, and the ways to dismantle and undo the storylines that have kept us from living in that freedom, and the belief systems and the energetic patterns and the relationship habits and the addictive patterns and all the ways that we block that presence of peace. And this is a guided path from undoing those stories and those experiences and those emotional imprints, and taking one step at a time. In the first part of the book, what I teach the reader to do is really take an inventory of what the trauma that they've had in their life has been doing to them. And they may not know what the trauma is yet, but looking at the patterns of the ways that we get triggered, how we feel when that trigger gets activated, and then how we react to it. And so, for example, one of the examples I give in the book is, if I felt out of control, that was a trigger. And it would feel like if something was out of control at work or something was out of control in a relationship, I would get triggered. And I would feel fearful, rageful, and the need to control everything. Mm. And then the way that I would respond was to just try to control every detail of my life and try to be a dictator and just make everything happen the way I needed it to happen until I felt safe again. And that understanding that pattern was a first step to recognizing, oh, okay, there's a trigger, there's a reactive state, there's a feeling, and then there's a way I'm reacting to the feeling. And that awareness helped me recognize that I am not the victim of my triggers. I am not a reactive person. I have reactive qualities that are there to that show up in protection of not wanting to feel deeper feelings. And so that's where I start the book, is really helping the reader take that honest inventory of the ways that they are overreacting or fearful and responding to fear, or activated and responding to that activation. And that awareness is really valuable.
Oh, it's life-changing, because I think for many people, they will say, this is just the way I am. This is just who I am.
That's right.
And one of the most powerful things that I ever heard in my life was that you have a right to change your mind about who you are. You don't have to be the same throughout your entire life. So by, like you said, asking yourself the questions, why do I react like that? What are my triggers? And where is this coming from? Ultimately can set you free.
That's right. That's a first step. That's a first step. And then once you do that inquiry, you start to open up your awareness of other ways, and your desire too, of other ways to start to support those patterns so that they no longer have such a hold on you. And that's where the journey that this book takes you on. I take you by the hand and I help you look closely at the patterns. And then I help you undo them very slowly and naturally and with therapeutic practices and spiritual practices. And it's not a rip off the Band-Aid kind of situation. That would be very dangerous. It's a very slow and steady path.
Yeah. And I really just think that, like, doing the work, it's so hard. And I think people are fearful of it because they're afraid of it getting worse before it gets better.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are just afraid to face the truth. But the reality is that the truth being the trauma, they're afraid to face the impermissible feelings of being feeling inadequate, feeling unlovable, feeling shame. And those feelings are so buried so deep that they don't want to face those feelings. And so they'll do everything they can to avoid them and to protect themselves from them. But those protection mechanisms turn into addictions. They turn into reactive patterns. They turn into destructive ways of living. So when we begin the practice of really witnessing the ways that we are avoiding those feelings, that's when we start to uncover the possibility for growth and healing. And there is a tremendous amount of fear of even looking at the need to heal, to even acknowledging that there's something that needs to be witnessed, because the feeling that we need to witness is so impermissible and so buried. So that's why I really believe that looking at this kind of work and facing into this kind of personal growth requires that steadiness and requires that handholding and requires therapeutic practices that are very gentle and spiritual. And that's what I've put inside this book, so that people can really open up their heart to feel safe enough to go to those darker places one step at a time.
Yeah. Can you talk to us, Gabby, about shaming and blaming? This is you know, when I heard you speak about this, it really, it was, I don't know if I've heard people speak about this before.
Yeah, I think one of the big protection mechanisms when we feel judged or shame, one of the big ways that we respond to that shame is to blame and shame back, is to project out what we don't want to feel. And that is a major form of protection, because one of the most impermissible emotions is shame. And when we are super activated and when we're super triggered, what we don't realize is often what's deep buried underneath that is shame. And so often some of our most knee-jerk reactions to feeling those kinds of triggers is to point the finger at somebody else. Blame and shame others, because if I can make them wrong, then I don't have to be sitting in my shame. It's interesting. I actually just did an interview. I interviewed somebody yesterday, a very famous woman who came out to her family. She shared about how she came out to her family, and she said that their response was perfect, even though that she didn't expect that. And even when they had the right response, her response to them was to be mad at them. And to think like, oh, they didn't do it right, or they weren't, you know, and she shut them out. And I wasn't able to really help her understand this in this live interview, but I really witnessed that her reaction, she still doesn't quite understand, she's a young woman, she doesn't quite understand why she shunned them when they responded so well. And what I understand is that she shunned them because even just giving voice to that fear and that shame, not that there should be any shame around coming out of the closet, but that there was, of course, people that have buried secrets in whatever form they may be there because there's shame there. And the reason that she reacted that way was because no matter what, she was going to be projecting out what she could not feel within. And so bringing the truth to your parents in your 20s and saying, hey, I'm a lesbian, and, you know, is so scary that the only way to defend yourself and protect yourself, no matter what their response might be, is to say you're wrong, you're bad, because it's too scary and too painful to even face what those feelings might be that are ignited.
Oh, Gabby Bernstein, what a gift to the world she is. And coming up, I'm so excited for you to hear me telling Gabby about how her book, The Universe Has Your Back, changed my life and led me to where I am today. And she talks to us about her love for cooking, which I absolutely loved, this little insight into her life. Before we get back into it, I just wanted to thank ReproMed for supporting The Good Glow and helping make these conversations possible. A fertility journey is, of course, so personal, and ReproMed pride themselves in taking compassionate interest in your care. Having spent time with the team, I know they will provide you with everything you need to know about treatment options in a safe, supportive, and honest environment. ReproMed.ie is packed full of information on IVF, egg donation, fertility preservation, and so much more. Visit visit repromed.ie for everything you need to know. How can they tell if they have unresolved trauma?
Are you reactive? Do you have physical pain? Are you anxious? Do you have trouble sleeping? Do you have difficulties in relationships? Are you struggling to attract what you want into your life? Are you feeling like there's something that you're constantly avoiding and running from? Do you have a sense that you're, do you have an inability to be present in the moment? Peter Levine, the founder of somatic experiencing, which is a body-based trauma therapy, said that that trauma is the inability to be present. And so everything I just described is just disconnected from the body, disconnected from the nervous system, disembodied in many ways. And I also kind of describe most humans. So that's why I can safely say
it's everybody I know.
Yeah, everyone's like, yep, check, 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 check. And so what I can say is that everyone has trauma. Mm. And it's really just your choice if you want to show up for it or not.
Yeah. And isn't it great that we are having these conversations now? We've gotten to a place in the world where this is being discussed. You know, people are willing to go there now and ask some difficult questions in that hope to becoming free, because I do think we are becoming more aware of our unresolved trauma. And Gabby, in a crisis, how do you ground yourself?
So it's actually, there's a lot of this in the book, is these grounding, physical, somatic grounding practices to really soothe your nervous system in the moment. And for me, I will first and foremost turn to my breath. I will breathe in two strokes through my nose, out one stroke through my mouth. So it sounds like this. And that breath practice immediately starts to settle my system. Then I'll place my hand on my heart and my other hand on my belly, and I'll feel into that heart hold. And that heart hold starts to soothe me and settle me. And I'll continue that breath practice while in that heart hold. I'll also physically move my body in some way. So maybe I'll shake, or I'll dance, or I'll just run, or I'll do something physical, because when we're in a crisis, we freeze. And so one of the greatest ways to not get stuck in that frozen energy is to move through what's happening in the moment. And if you can't and you're frozen, then that can happen later, because sometimes your biological response is to freeze. But if you can keep moving in the midst of the crisis, physically, slowly, you know, just even physically moving one part of your arm, that can be very beneficial to letting your brain process what's happening in the moment. Mm-hmm. Another thing I might do is create some bilateral stimulation. So I could tap my left shoulder, tap my right shoulder, tap my left shoulder, tap my right shoulder. And this kind of back and forth tapping helps your brain process trauma. So, or I would, you know, put a buzzer in either hand, or it's binaural stimulation. All of this is in the book, and it's really almost like the toolbook for processing and really reprocessing historical traumas. And then, of course, these methods can be really valuable in the moments of crisis.
I also love in the book that there's lots of mantras, affirmations, prayers that you speak about, that you repeat yourself on a daily basis. And actually, I was in a therapy session recently, and my therapist said, you know, maybe you could repeat to yourself, "I choose not to live in fear." Or maybe she said that's what she repeats to herself. And anyway, I've taken it on, and I jumped into the sea last week and it was freezing cold. And I was like, "I choose not to live in fear." Yeah. And that little affirmation has been changing my days. Do you have one that you are using at the moment?
Yeah, and I have, and there's a whole chapter in the book actually about how the psychosomatic effects of our thoughts and our behaviors, and also the ways that words and affirmations can really be a healing device. And so one affirmation that I say quite regularly is, "Everything is happening around me. I am truly taken care of." For me, that says that I am safe, that I'm cared for, that people are showing up for me, that I'm not alone, that I don't have to do everything, that I am safe in the moment. Everything is happening around me and I'm truly taken care of.
Wow, I love that one. And would you say that to yourself every single day?
At times in my life, that has been a daily affirmation. One that I think I often turn to also is I am safe.
Yeah.
I am safe.
That's a huge one, especially for, you know, for someone like me who would dip in and out of, you know, health anxiety. I am safe is a huge one, because I think for so many people, especially when they've been through a trauma, are hugely risk averse and they, you know, everything is frightening. So to say I choose not to live in fear or I am safe can have a huge impact on your day.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Can you tell us a little bit about your daily routine?
Sure. I wake up in the morning to my son, 3 years old, at 5:45 typically. Mommy! And if it's that early, I'll let him come in bed with us and just cuddle. But then I often will set, he's old enough now where he can sort of play by himself for a little bit. And so I'll let him play by himself while I kind of settle myself in the bed. And I will say prayers. And right now I'm just in deep prayer for my gratitude for all that I have and all that I'm able to contribute and create in the world, and for my health and for my family, and really focus appreciation and gratitude towards what is working and what's thriving. And then just hold prayer and love and feel into that prayer and love for those who are suffering, because I do believe that the power of our energy can be very expansive. And I feel it physically. And when I make that commitment every single morning, it allows me to show up in a higher, with a higher energy and vibration and capacity. And then I get creative in the morning. So I do a lot of creative work in the morning. I hate when I have calls in the morning. It's just a waste of my, it's a waste of my gift. And then these days I'm just wanting to create more space for creation, because I've been very much in the outward launching of a book.
Yeah,
it's
a lot.
Which is creative. That's creative, though, because like being here and having this conversation with you is extremely creative. And it's also in my mission as well, because I want this book to be read by as many people as possible, because I know, I understand and know firsthand the healing powers of this book. And so with that awareness and understanding, I am pretty conscious of trying to show up and be creative on these interviews, because that will have a greater resonance for the people that are listening.
Yeah. Can I tell you how you changed my life?
Yes, please. That would be beautiful to hear. And I'm going to start by saying that I did not change your life. You changed your life.
I knew you were going to say that.
I may have just inspired you to do some work on your life.
I knew you were going to say that. So my friend, who I hadn't seen in years, when I was in the middle of chemotherapy, arrived on my doorstep with your book, The Universe Has Your Back, and Oprah's book, What I Know For Sure. And I read Oprah's book, and I felt like your book was going to have, I felt like your book was going to change my life. So I felt like I needed to be ready to read it. So I went back to work after treatment, and everything was going back to normal. I worked in a busy newsroom, and I just had started my podcast on the side and really had this vision for a wellness brand. And I knew that I couldn't do both, but I was living in fear and continued with my day job. I went to Spain and I had your book, and I finally felt ready to read it and let it in. So I read the book, and in it you said to ask for a sign. So I asked for a sign one day to quit my job. And 4 hours later, I got my sign. And I went home from Spain and I quit my job, and I have never looked back. And it's now 3.5 years later, and I have this podcast, and, you know, it's brought me on an incredible journey. And I don't think I would have done that without your book.
Well, you were guided to the book, and you knew when to read it. You always see people read it when they need it. And so it's no accident that the book came to you, and it's no accident that you read it when you were ready to make that change. So you changed your life. The book was just there to tell you a story, to inspire.
And you always speak about asking for a sign. If there's anybody listening today who may feel like they need a bit of guidance, you know, where do you start to ask for a sign?
Well, if you have something that you are trying to make a decision about, or you want to just connect to the universe and say, you know, guidance, universe, spirit, whatever you believe in, show me that I am being guided, whatever it may be that you want to ask for guidance with, decide right now, what is your sign? Don't even think, just say it. So it could be a butterfly, it could be a rainbow, it could be an elephant, it could be a Buddha. I'm looking at all the things behind you. It could be, you know, an orange handbag, you know, just something that's not so common, but, you know, that just comes to mind. And that first thing that comes to your mind is your sign. And then you would say a prayer. Thank you, universe, for revealing to me that I am on the right track. Show me my sign. And that sign will be revealed. And if it's not revealed, that's a sign too.
Yeah. So what happens if it's not revealed? You've said before that it can come in time.
It can come in time and also cannot come, because, you know, a lot of people are trying to like play tricks with the universe. And so when we ask the universe for a sign and we don't get the sign, then that means that there's a different direction, that there's something else we should open our consciousness up to. It's not black or white. Your signs will be very blatant. They're going to be in your face like a billboard. And if you don't get that sign, then that's a billboard too.
Yeah, because I asked for a sign in your manifesting challenge in January, and it was a stag, because there's often deer running around where we live. So I said, okay, a stag will appear, and it never showed up, and it still hasn't to this day. And I think about that and I'm like, that is because I have more work to do on getting to the place of inner peace.
That's right. What was the thing? Do you want to share what it was that you were trying to manifest, or is it too personal?
Yeah, inner peace.
Right. So maybe right now you can really accept that you're on the journey. And that you're still manifesting inner peace. Inner peace is an interesting one to manifest, because it's something that I think we're going to be manifesting forever. So
I know, because if I had have gotten that sign right, I would have been like, okay, that's done.
I'm done. That's right.
It's actually something I have to work on, and I can't fool myself that I actually have inner peace when I know I've got to go to the unresolved trauma. I've got to get myself back into therapy. I have work to do in order to get there. So that's why I didn't get my sign.
That's right. Yeah. Beautiful.
Just in terms of cooking, I love following you on Instagram, and I always feel like you're always creating in the kitchen. I know you're a very creative person, and I feel like I do the same thing. And when people ask you for recipes, you're like, oh, just kind of go with your intuition and put a bit of love into it and you'll get something lovely at the end. What does cooking bring to your life?
Well, it's so interesting that you're asking me about this right now, because I'm just today actually selling my 10th book, which is a book called Mantras and Meals that I'm going to co-author with one of my dearest friends, who's a holistic chef and a healthy chef and just the most gorgeous divine creator of food. And it's really about how cooking can be meditative, or is meditative when you allow it to be, and how you can use cooking as a creative force for channeling an energy beyond your own. So for me, it's a meditative practice. For me, it's a wind down routine. For me, it's a creative practice. And some people hate cooking, but my prayer would be that, one, this would give you a way of using cooking as almost like a mantra, where a mantra is a single-pointed focus. It's allowing your thoughts to be really directed. And when you're in that focused point of attention, the noise can dissipate around you. And therefore, you can get into a flow state. And so the mantra that you use while you cook will elevate that. But as well, just being in the focus of the recipe and the focus of the creation can help you be in that flow state as well.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about this book. It's going to be beautiful.
Did you say you're selling it at the moment, or?
Yeah, I think that it's going to get sold today, pretty much. It's with my publishers now. And
That's so exciting. Yeah. I'll keep my eyes peeled for that. And what do you do on a day off?
Oh, a day off, I would go to the city with my husband and my son, New York City, and just fuck off and hang out and, you know, like just go to restaurants and walk around and take my kid to the playground. And we did that all last weekend. It was just so wonderful.
Gabby, if someone's in the depths of pain and they feel like the world is against them, I know that you have always said that the universe has your back. What do you say to people who are in rock bottom moments?
Congratulations. There is a, I love the Rumi quote, the wound is the place where the light enters you. So when you're in a rock bottom, you have this moment where everything can change. And it's a door opening, an invisible door opening for you to allow the presence of a energy of love to move through you and guide you.
Wow. So powerful. This has been an incredible moment for me. I'm so grateful to you for all the gifts that you give to the world and the gift that you gave to me today, Gabby.
Thank you, sweetheart. You're so lovely.
Thank you so much for listening to my podcast with Gabby Bernstein. Her new book, Happy Days, is out now. I'll be in the National Concert Hall on May 30th. We're going to have an amazing night. We have been planning the show over the last couple of weeks. We've got the Dublin Gospel Choir. We've got guests. We've got interviews. We've got talks. We've got an incredible night planned. So nch.ie for tickets if you'd like to join us. We are nearly sold out, but there is limited tickets available. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, please drop me a DM, leave a review, subscribe. It all helps. Thank you so much, and I'll talk to you next week.